And this morning, as you may have guessed from Shannon's communion talk, we are talking about being invited to a party. We're talking about what it means to have an invitational culture. We've been going through the different values that our church has. And the value we're looking at is the value of being an invitational church, a church that does the invite. So let's talk about our wedding. How many people did you have at your wedding? Who wants to put their hand up and tell me how many people they had at their wedding? Ben and Michelle, how many people did you have at your wedding? 50. Wow. Ruthless. Did anyone here go to Ben and Michelle's wedding? Not one person. Oh, two people. Wow. I wasn't invited. But I didn't know you, so it was all right. I had a hand over here. How many? Allison, I think. 90. What about you, Ollie? 23, Ollie. Ollie and Hazel. How long have you and Hazel been married for now, Ollie? 2 years. I reckon they deserve a hand for that. Anyone else? Who reckons they had the biggest wedding? Arun and Anu can't apply. Who else reckons they had the second biggest wedding here? How many, Trace? 200! Who can beat 200? Hold on. Can you, Debesh, and you can both stand up. Stand up, because this is huge, everyone. I want you to hear this. How many people? 1,500 and 800. I think we have a winner, right? Is that 2,300 in total? Oh my, how many presents did you get? That's what I want to know. There's nothing better for, I think, than being invited to a party, right? You get an invitation to a party. I don't think there's anything better than sending out invitations to a party. You prepare the food, you prepare the music, you prepare the atmosphere, you think about who's going to get invited. I think we've got a picture of a party on the screen. You think about who's going to come, and you have a party, and you invite them into your home, into your wherever it's going to be. It's great to have a party. I wonder what it is that causes us to not invite people to church. I wonder what the challenge is there. You see, if you had tickets to a great concert, if you had tickets to a free meal at a fancy restaurant, you had tickets to something that was going to be a wonderful event, you would go up to your friend and say, I've got free tickets to this incredible meal. No shame, no nothing. You are invited to this. It's going to be awesome. Have you ever sent out invitations to a party and the person hasn't replied? And you're like, hey, so rude. And then you're thinking, I wonder if they don't like me. Or is that just me? That's the parties I have. I don't think it is. I think the fear of rejection in all of us goes really deep. Because when you invite someone into your home, you invite someone to a party, it's quite vulnerable. You're saying, come, be part of my celebration. And you're worried they're not going to come. And you're worried they're going to say no. And what would they think of you? What is it about having this culture of being an inviting church where we'll invite someone to be part of God's family? Invite someone to a church event, to a connect group. Because all of us, if we're honest, we struggle with the invite. I wonder what it is. I wonder if there's been an unhealthy expectation around what it means to be, say, an evangelist. I've got some pictures on the screen of three different evangelists. And over here we have Steve Martin. Does anyone know the movie that I'm talking about from this? It's not a really well-known movie, but Steve Martin was a faith healer and he had a tent evangelist. And he set up this tent and what he had was this little thing in his ear. And the guy at the door would ask people the details on their way through. And then he'd have a little thing in his ear and the guy would tell him, well, this is, you'll see someone in the crowd, they're wearing a red jacket and they've got a problem, they've got a health problem. And he would somehow fool the people to think he knew what their ailments was and they'd come forward for prayer and for healing and it'd be a great celebration. And that movie is a great indication of what some people think about when they think of an evangelist, when they think of a church ministry. When they think of the guy up the front, a tele-evangelist, tricking people and taking their money from them. We don't want to be that guy, do we? With false motives and tricking people into the faith. The second picture is of a guy handing out a tract. He's got a tract. Does everyone know what a tract is? Maybe not everyone does, but there used to be these things called tract. Maybe there still are. And it was a piece of paper with maybe the gospel story on it, maybe the four spiritual laws. Maybe it was a chick comic. You can ask me later what a chick comic is. And you used to go on the street and used to hand those out. And you'd watch the person take it out of your hand. They might look at it for 2 seconds and then they'd throw it into the gutter or throw it in the bin. And you see people still handing out tracts and you wonder, does that do any good? Is that what being an evangelist means? Is that what sharing our faith means? Anyone lived in Adelaide here this morning? Who's been there? Okay, all right. Rundle Mall, right? Tell me what the worst street in Adelaide is. Anyone know? Hindley Street. Yes, it's Hindley Street. The worst street you can go in, but you go to TripAdvisor if you're a backpacker or something, and they'll say, don't go to Hindley Street in Adelaide. Because that's like the worst street. We used to go to Hindley Street on Friday night and hand out tracts. And we thought we were doing God's work. And you know what? Maybe we were. I've actually heard stories about people who come to faith through someone handing them a tract. God can and does use anything he chooses and anything he wants. But I wonder back to that time when I was 19, 20, really out there and handing out tracts on Hindley Street. I wonder if it did any good. I don't know. Then you have the third and the final image of the guy on the street, and you may not be able to read what he says, but he says, be wise and repent. The time is fulfilled. The end is at hand. And he's got a bunch of Bible verses down his shirt. And you can see this lady over in the corner. She's looking at him going, oh, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't make me stand out. Who wants to be that guy with a big megaphone? Shouty, shouty. Repent, turn or burn, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or whatever it is that he's saying. And he looks as he looks. And there are people that do that. And far be it from me to say that God doesn't use that person and use that man. There is this unhealthy, I think, expectation on you that perhaps you've had on what it means to share your faith, on what it means to do the invite, and what it means to be an invitational church. What does it mean? I want to relieve some of the unhealthy burden, but here's the thing. I also want to tell you something. One of the last things Jesus said before he left, so that means it's really important. He said, go into the world and make disciples. So he actually told us, this is actually a command. This is not something that is we can negotiate. You may not feel you can do any of these three things. You might not even feel that you're a gifted evangelist. But if you're a believer this morning, if you believe in Jesus and you say you love Jesus, in fact, Jesus has commanded you to share your faith. He's told us, this is what we are to do. We are to invite. So I don't want to put an unhealthy burden on you, but I do want to say to you, this is non-negotiable. As you work in your Christian life and your faith and you work through what it means to be a believer, where you are in your family, in your community, in your workplace, you are to share your faith. You are to invite to the party. Here's our value as a church, and this is what we want to be. This is our invitational value. Thank you, James. We seek to provide opportunities for people to connect and belong, no matter where they are on the journey of faith. We seek to provide opportunities for people to connect and belong. So we invite, we connect, and then people belong to the family of faith. That's what we want to be, no matter where they are on the journey of faith. And so the question that we ask ourselves is, am I facilitating a culture where everyone is welcome? John 3:16, let's see how I go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. The word there is whoever, right? Whoever. Whoever would believe. Whoever would believe. Every person made in the image of God. Every person that has ever breathed has the capacity to have a relationship with Jesus. Spiritual capacity. And we look at some and we think, no, not you. And we look at others and we think, no, not you. But Jesus says, whoever believes. Our next scripture up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 20. This is Paul talking, and he's talking to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about what it would take and what it takes to be a Christian and a believer and to have a culture in your church that is an invitational culture. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. If you were here last week, you remember me unpacking what it means to be a slave. That means you do it for no reward. And you don't do it for yourself. And you're not concerned. You're not concerned about what you want. You're actually concerned about how can I help this person? What do I need to do for God and for this person? I will become a slave to them. I will put aside what I want. I will put aside my own needs. I will put aside my desire to get rewarded. And I will be a slave to all people. For what purpose? To bring many to Christ. The purpose is that people will come to Christ. The purpose is that someone will become a believer. This is the most important thing Paul has to say. This is what his life is all about. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow this Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. Thank you. Next slide. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God, I obey the law of Christ. This next bit, we're going to be really hammering in on this next bit. It's really important. This morning, when I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I want to read this from the Message translation. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, let's talk about church culture for a moment. And let's talk about sometimes what we say and do and the expectations we put on other believers and even on people coming to know Jesus. What are the expectations that we put on them? Paul here is saying that he is free of any of that. He's following Jesus. He's not fearing what other people say. Not fearing what other people say. He's not fearing what people in church say. What stops us from giving the invite, I wonder sometimes, is because we're afraid of what other people are going to say. Even if this person becomes part of church. I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, I love this, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. Think about someone that you think would never, ever come to church and would never, ever be a believer. Just think about that person. Think about who you'd give the invite to. And would you invite them to the party? I don't take on their way of life. I keep my bearings in Christ, but I enter their world and I try to experience things from their point of view. The party. You invite them to the party. You invite them to the celebration. You see, we have this thing inside of us where we wonder that people are questioning our motives. And we wonder if they actually want to come. And we wonder if they will come. And we think that they won't. So we don't do the invite. And we're scared of being rejected. We're scared of what they're going to say. And perhaps we even don't want to risk the friendship and risk the relationship. What will they think of me? What will happen if they come? And even, it's actually going to be really difficult if they start coming to know Jesus and start coming to church. That's actually going to be really challenging for me. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that because I like things the way they are. There's really one point I'm making this morning in two parts, but one point. And so if anyone asks you, what did Pastor Mark preach on Sunday? Because I'm sure they will. This is what you are to say. This is the phrase. Two slides ahead. Thanks, James. We are to be carriers, not barriers. Can we say that together? One, two. Carriers, not barriers. Can we do that again? One, two. Carriers, not barriers. Thank you for indulging me. I appreciate it. We're to be carriers, not barriers. What does it mean to be a barrier? How are we a barrier? We put unfair expectations on people. We make it that people find it really difficult to come. Next slide. Thanks, James. What does it mean to be a barrier? One of the key reasons people don't come to church is because they don't think they're good enough. I just want to let that sink in for a bit. One of the key reasons people have told me that they don't want to know Jesus is because they don't think they are good enough. What are we doing that people think they have to be good to come to church? I look around this room and I see you all and I think, what are we doing that people think they have to be good to come to church? You know, I think one of the key barriers that we can put in place to people is when we present an image that says we have got it all together and we are now good people. We are good people. And I think actually at the heart of some of us, we've forgotten what we're actually like. And we've forgotten perhaps some of the struggles we have. And maybe, to be honest, we've stopped struggling. I truly believe that people want to see authenticity. They want to see Christians that actually share stories about their struggles. Do I always want to come to church? No, I don't. Am I always aware of the goodness of God in my life? No, I'm not. Do I sometimes wonder why God does things the way he does them? Yes, I do. Do I struggle sometimes with God and with my faith? Yes, I do. Do I believe? Yes, I do. Do I keep going? Yes, I do. Do I believe that Jesus loves me and God came to save everyone in the world? Yes, I do. But there is no perfect people at church. And I feel like sometimes it's going to be okay for you to say to your friend, to your family member, to someone that you actually want to become part of the family. I think it's actually removing a barrier to them to say, you know what? These are my struggles. But I do believe in Jesus. And I feel like sometimes a barrier to people coming to church is a lack of authenticity within the church. Let us not pretend for one moment that we have it together. Let us not pretend that Jesus has made us perfectly righteous. Let us not pretend that we don't struggle with sin and with our own issues and with everything else, because we do. And this can really be a barrier to someone coming to know Jesus. The other barrier I think that we can put up is expecting that there will be a whole heap of things that people need to do, a whole heap of hoops that they need to jump through in order to come to Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved, and this is not of yourself. This is a work of God. And I think sometimes we put barriers in place where we say, you've got to dress this way, you've got to be this way, you've got to be good before you can come to Jesus. Barriers. Instead, let us be carriers, not barriers. Let us be a carrier of the good things that Jesus has given us. Do you know the most powerful thing you have is your story? And I really want to challenge you this morning about something. If I ask you, tell me your story of Jesus, it will be okay if you tell me how you became a Christian 10, 15, 20 years ago. That might be a good story. It might be important. It might be something worth sharing. But let me say something. If that's the only story you've got, if you can't tell me what God said to you last week or this morning, if you can't tell me where God has been working in your life in the past couple of months, then I want to challenge you. I want to say, where is God working in your life today? Where is your God working in your life now? Because I want you to go to your friends and to your family. I want you to say, you wouldn't believe what God did for me this week. It's an amazing story. Let me be a carrier of grace and truth and faith and life for you. Let me bring a basket of goodness to you about what God is doing in my life now. Ask the question of your own heart and mind right now. If I came to you and I said, what did God say to you? What did God do through you this last week? What would you say? I hope that you would have a story to tell. I hope you would be challenged if you didn't have a story to say. And I hope this week you go out and you say, Lord, what have you got to say to me this week? What are you doing in my life? What can I share with my family and my friends and my neighbors? How can I share this good stuff that God has been doing in my life? How can I give the invite, take down the barriers, and instead be a carrier of the good things of God? The bit there that Paul says, when they are weak, I will share in their weakness. Here was Paul, the apostle, who'd written a lot of the New Testament, who was this incredible missionary and all the rest, and he says, I want to share in their weakness. I wonder sometimes if we come across that we want to tell people what they are to do, and tell people how they are to live. And I wonder sometimes if we haven't set ourselves up as the moral compass, where we come and we say, this is how you are to live, and this is what you are to do, instead of saying, you know what, I really struggle with this, but Jesus is helping me through. I'm weak, just like you are weak. I'm weak, just like you are weak. Let me share my story with you about how Jesus is getting me through. People want your authenticity. They want your heart. And they want you to express to them the goodness of God and all the good things that God has given. We're going to sing a song in response to this in a moment. And then I'm going to come back with one final point that I want to make today. Because this morning I want you... Can we just hear the good news again for once? Can I just share the good news with you? For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. The good news of the Bible and the good news that you share, and the fact that you invite someone to come and know Jesus, that is not for your benefit. Sure, plenty of people use church and use religion and even use the scriptures for their own means. But you're not inviting anyone to come know Jesus because it does you any good. You might love seeing them become a believer. It might make you cry tears of joy. There might be a family member or a friend that you love, and you just might be so happy to see them say yes to Jesus. But do you know, when you take that good news that God loves them and that He will forgive them, that's for their benefit that you share that. You are inviting them to the greatest and the best party there is. They may reject you. Paul says in that letter that he will share whatever he can so some will come. Because the reality is, you may share your faith and some may not come. And they may reject you. They may laugh at you. But you're not inviting them for your own benefit. You're inviting them for their benefit. Because it's the greatest party the world will ever see. For the most people there that have ever been seen, it's the best place to be. If you know Jesus this morning, you are part of that party. And God has been really good to you. So I'm going to invite you to stand. Stand right now. Let us respond to the goodness of God as we sing. And then I'm going to come back and just share one final thought before we go. Grab a seat, everyone. I'm just reminded of a really good friend I had just this past week. And they've got someone in their life who they never thought would ever become a believer. And this person has been sharing their faith and their story with their friend. And about 2 weeks ago, their friend came and said, "You know what? I believe. I actually believe in Jesus." And they haven't been a follower of Jesus ever in their life. They're going through a really messy breakup and really difficult situation in their life. And that was great to hear that story. But my friend said to me, "You know what they said? They said, I can't believe it. I can't believe they've actually chosen to follow Jesus. And now they're going to a connect group." And here's our final thought this morning. Trust that God is at work. I think one of the greatest reasons we don't share our faith is because we don't actually, if we're honest, it's not that we don't believe, we just struggle to believe that Jesus would actually do something. And we think about that person that says the sky is going to fall in. If I ever go into a church, the roof's going to fall in. And we think, yeah, well, maybe it would. And then when someone does actually cross over and become a believer, we're like, I can't believe it. You ever felt that way? Can I encourage you? I felt that way. My friends certainly felt that way. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe we could think about it as not being shocked, but being in awe. Because the God that you believe in and the God that started your whole spiritual story when you became a believer, He is the God that is still at work. He's still at work. So when you share your faith and when you invite someone, do it believing. With the mustard seed, if that's all you have, right? But do it believing and trusting that God is at work, because He is at work. And when you have the courage and the faith and just the plan out, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to someone about Jesus. I'm going to share my faith. I might even invite them along to an Easter service. When you do that, just send a quick prayer up. Lord, you do your work. Sure, not everyone's going to come. We have choice. Leave that up to God. Your role is to do the invite and to do the ask. That's actually why we're here. Father, I want to thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is absolutely at work in this world. Together, Lord, we say amen. Lord, you are at work, and we trust you're at work. Lord, for all those people that we thought of before that we said they would never come, Lord, right now we bring them before you in Jesus' name, before your throne room, And we say, Lord, Holy Spirit, God, bring them. We want to see them at the party. Lord, when we have lack of faith, replace it with Spirit-filled courage and belief. May you do something great through us this week, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name.